Good afternoon, Gushwell. How are you? And thank you for joining us. Let's just define what is spanking.
Well, spanking we find is any discipline that is applied physically. So obviously, on the bum, picking up a bell, walking, you know, spectrum. So in other words, using any form of physical violence as a form of discipline. Now, previously under the law, reasonable chastisement was in fact protected. So the law previously recognized reasonable chastisement, which probably would have been understood as some form of physical violence, but within reasonable limits. And there's been a couple of cases recently, one of a father who gave his son a hiding and was found not to be reasonable chastisement. And that is what brought this question to the fore in the first place, because he found that his son had apparently been looking at pornography. The whole issue there is still in dispute, whether it was actual pornography or was the child just simply Googling interesting things at the time. But the point is, the court found that reasonable chastisement is no longer constitutional, and therefore you can't use it as a defense anymore as a parent.
Has the court given us alternatives?
Well, I don't think it's for the court to give us a list of alternatives in terms of what discipline then constitutes. I think it's also, as a society, a conversation that we need to have. And I was listening to what you were saying in terms of alternative forms of discipline. And being a father of three toddlers, it's not always easy.
Okay, give us ages. Give us ages. We have to talk children. We love children on the station. We have a show called Hi Kids. We have 9-year-olds hosting an hour of talk radio. Tell us about your children.
That is lovely. My eldest is 5. My daughter turned 2 today. In fact, it's her birthday today.
Happy birthday.
And my son in the middle is 3 years old.
Okay. So your 3-year-old son, if you're walking with your kids, right, and your 3-year-old who we know, the 3-year-olds are, you know, they're not called, I think it's the terrible 2s and the something or other 3s. They can be quite forceful, to put it, you know, quite stubborn, you know, try pushing them through a trolley at the pick and pay out queue. He runs into the road, okay, and there's cars coming in. He narrowly misses getting hit by a car. Is your reaction as a parent, and I'm asking all parents this, to sit down and talk to that child? I mean, is it not a natural reaction to give them a smack on the bottom that they will not do that again? It's so serious that you want them to learn that lesson first time.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. There's a couple of questions around that, because, I mean, I've experienced that with my eldest, in fact.
Yes.
We've been lucky, in a lucky position since then to have sort of, for lack of a better term, it sounds very official to put it like that, but to implement, you know, little rules and certain rules when we're out in public, when we are at a shopping center or previously when, you know, if we're at church or whatever the situation is and there's other cars in the vicinity and you're in the parking lot. So we've not had a repeat of that particular situation. But I mean, I hear what you're saying is that there's almost a natural human reaction in those particular instances.
I think more than that, I don't think the reaction like that is coming from anger from a parent. Is that I want my child to learn this lesson, never to run in the road again, and they need to remember this lesson.
I hear you, but I think that what part of the concern is and what we need to start having as a conversation is around, for example, the notion of violence, and even within that extreme circumstance or that extreme example that you use there, should violence be the first thing that the child reacts to? And the key question that we have to ask ourselves is, does the child actually understand that a vehicle poses mortal danger, or is the child not going to run into the road simply because mommy and daddy are around and that I might get hurt again if they see me or they know that I'm doing it? So in other words, what I'd rather have my 3 understand that you can't run into the road because something drastic and severe is going to happen. You're going to get either really hurt or you're going to die if you get struck by a vehicle, as opposed to the idea that if I don't know, auntie or grandparents are around, I can take a chance because daddy's not around to wield you know, a smack on the bum, whether it be with a belt or with a flat hand or whatever the situation is.
Okay, except that there's 2 aspects here. One, and I know that I'm sounding argumentative, but I need to understand the full issue. One is that you can't negotiate depending on the age of the child. A child that doesn't understand the concept of death or the concept of, you know, grievous bodily harm or the concept of what a car can do to them, is going to still be able to understand a smack. And you can't negotiate with a child that age. That's the first thing. The second thing is there not a distinction between a smack on the bum, which is not given in anger, and violence. They're not necessarily the same thing. Surely there's a distinction between that.
Well, I think that that's exactly what I was saying from the onset, is that we need to have a conversation as a society in terms of our own understanding of violence, because whether it be a gentle smack on the bum or it be a severe shambocking, as an example, is it still not both of them a violent act? And at the same time as well, and I also don't want to sound, argumentative, and I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone because of my own personal experience in raising my children.
Sure.
And as I always say, that raising my children has taught, and I have, my wife and I have implemented a system whereby we do not smack our children. We do not give them hidings. And believe me, it takes far more, in my opinion, far more patience not to give your children a hiding as opposed to giving them a hiding, because As you said, you have to try to find ways to negotiate with a two-year-old, and especially, with my daughter being the youngest, it's tough. It's extremely tough because she doesn't understand the basic concepts, unlike her brothers might be able to comprehend at some level or the other. But at the very same time, the key issue is that we do have alternatives. And I was listening to the conversation that you had in the lead up to our conversation. Yeah. That was around the issue of timeout as an example.
Yes.
My daughter is severely scared of timeout. And I'll use last night as an example. It is dinner time and she's supposed to eat. And Joey instead wants to get up and play. She's nibbling a bit at her food, and then she decides, no, she's not interested in the meal anymore. She'd rather go and play. Now the issue is, I know that nutrition is key to her development and growth. And if I'm going to let her slide on too many dinners, it's going to have an impact on her growth, and she could literally get stunted. So what do? I got up from my chair. I picked up her chair, and we have a little timeout corner. And I said to her, do you want to sit in timeout? And she said, no. And I said to you, it's very simple. If you're going to eat your food and finish it, then you don't have to sit in timeout. You return back to her table, and she continued to eat. But guess what? 5 minutes later, she got up again and she started playing around again. So yes, it's a lot of repetition. It's a lot of negotiation. It's a lot of patience on your behalf as a parent, but it's essential from that perspective. And I think that even as a nation, more broadly speaking, apart from sort of the insular family home scenario, what we really have to ask ourselves and start thinking about is what is the situation in many of our communities where, for example, at schools, quite regularly, we still see footage and images of children getting smacked in school, whereas it has been illegal since at least 1996 for teachers to apply corporal punishment. And part of the reason is because I don't think that we have illegalized it, made it unconstitutional for us to apply corporal punishment, but we have never substituted it with an alternative and said to teachers and to parents, that here's the agency, this is alternative means that you can use. So for example, get this errant student or learner to pick up paper after class and clean up the school. Or sit and actually apply themselves and do the homework that they miss out on generally, et cetera, et cetera. So those are some of the things that I think that we've never ever discussed and dealt with. And now, unfortunately, as the old cliche goes, now the chickens are coming home to roost, because even though we've taken away corporal punishment, we've never really as a society thought of what are we going to do then to positively reinforce disciplinary measures and ideas.
And it's also, it's a bigger issue. I mean, we've seen since corporal punishment was stopped, and I'm not an advocate of corporal punishment, but I think that we have disempowered teachers in the classroom. I mean, if I think back to some of the boys that were at school with me, there's no way that they would have responded to anything but cuts. Never. They were impossible. I was impossible. I don't know how my mother would have raised me if she hadn't been allowed to smack. I mean, I was expelled at the age of four.
Your expulsion as a four-year-old, I mean,
you must know it's naughty.
Take this from where it's coming.
There's a lot of, and maybe perhaps at the time, a lot of the stuff that we know now about children and childhood development and psychology wasn't known at the time. I mean, when I was born in 1982, which at times doesn't sound all that long ago, but, when I think about 1982, we didn't know about ADHD, we didn't know about learning difficulties, we didn't know that, children that all too often perform poorly in school are children who might have poor eyesight, can't see what is written on the board, and would rather spend their time going about doing their own thing and, you know, being the class clown. I mean, now with my three children, one of the things that I've learned that I never thought was a thing ever, and I didn't even know it existed, is gross motor and fine motor, capabilities. And these are things that we have to pay attention to, because why? If their gross motor capabilities are weak, then they can't balance themselves and they can't pay attention in class, because all of their attention goes towards trying to balance while they're seated on a chair. Now, with all of that, and unfortunately, very few people have access to that level of information. And I think that, to a large extent, to be quite frank, I do agree with you that parents, teachers, and a whole bunch of other people are largely disempowered by, the amount of information that they have. And sadly enough, guess what? There's nothing easier than being able to just go up to someone and smack them because they're not doing as you see fit. I mean, that is why we have an issue, I think, with the amount of violence that we have in our society, whether it's being directed at women or children, whether it's in traffic. I mean, there's enough traffic incidents that you are aware of, probably in your commute back from your show, where you will see people would rather revert to violence rather than trying to just, I don't know, deal with people as ordinary human beings.
Gosh, well, unfortunately, that's where we have to leave it. But you really have been a delight to speak to. I've really enjoyed speaking to you, and I hope that it won't be the last time. And just all the best with raising your kids.
Thank you. Thank you. I need it.
Yes, you do.